runs Iran's judiciary is now going to be its president.
Ibrahim Raisi won 17.8 million votes out of the 28.6 million cast in Friday's election. That dominates the other three candidates. Two of them were hardliners, and the other one was the former central bank chief of Iran's relatively moderate president, Hassan Rouhani. Now, Raisi's win signifies a major victory for hardliners who've taken control of both the Iranian parliament as well as now the presidency. John Gambrell in Dubai, United Arab Emirates.
Iraq's military says at least one Katyusha rocket has fallen close to the perimeter of a military base that hosts U.S. troops in northern Iraq. The rocket fell this morning near the sprawling Ayn al-Assad base. Nobody was hurt. This is SRN News.
Remember that time when the home remodel got a little bit out of hand?
I think that was a load-bearing wall.
How about the time you crashed your bike trying to be the next Evel Knievel? And he was right there to pick you up and put your bike back together, too. Today, we salute our fathers and reflect on all the memories and moments that make him so special to us. Happy Father's Day from AM 1280, The Patriot.
AM 1280, in partnership with Inspiration Tours, presents the Stand With Israel Tour. Embark with Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher on an extraordinary 10-day adventure through Israel. The Stand With Israel Tour, October 27th through November 5th. Join your fellow Patriots by signing up today. Book your trip worry-free now through July 6th. Details at am1280thepatriot.com. Your forecast for today, we're looking at scattered showers with a high of 74, moving into a low of 53 for tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 68, moving in the mostly clear and a low of 51. This is AM 1280 The Patriot.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. It is the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with another edition of the broadcast we like to call The Closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take your phone calls, 651-289-4488. If you'd like to weigh in via Twitter, feel free to do so. That's hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. Hashtag Narn Show for any comments or questions. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. And happy Father's Day, by the way, to all the dads out there, including my dad, Ed Carlson, who I am 100% positive is not listening because he doesn't agree with my politics. But I think I said the same thing on Mother's Day, too. Wish my mom a happy Mother's Day, but she's not listening because she doesn't agree with my politics. But that's okay. Love my folks. Love them dearly. And today is Dad's Day, so happy Father's Day, Dad. Now, what do kids normally do, what the obligatory gift they get for dad on Father's Day? Because when I was growing up, it was in vogue to get dad a tie, a necktie, you know, because a lot of dads worked in corporate America and you had to wear ties back then. Well, corporate America has become a lot more casual these days. So what has kind of replaced the necktie as the traditional obligatory gift for Father's Day? I'm just curious about that. If you have any thoughts on that, hashtag Narn Show. Hashtag N-A-R-N show. You could definitely leave a comment regarding that. I am rather curious. Now, my dad worked in construction, so he never had he never wore a necktie anyways, except for very special occasions. So it wasn't relevant to me growing up. But I am curious what has kind of replaced the necktie as the kind of the traditional gift. But anyways, we are going to get to some news of the week. To start off, going to cover some local issues. And by the way, at 1:15, friend of the broadcast, Senator Dave Osmek, a Republican senator out of the Mound area, he is going to give us a call to kind of update us on this special session of the legislature as we are T-minus 11 days until July 1st when a budget agreement has to be reached or risk the government shutting down. So we'll get Senator Osmek's appraisal on that situation. But before we do that, I did want to cover a local story or opine on a local story that I saw reported on in the Star Tribune this past week. This is written by Rochelle Olson. The Otsego truck driver who drove into a massive protest on the Interstate 35W bridge last summer in the aftermath of George Floyd's murder will see the two criminal charges against him dropped if he remains a law-abiding for the next year. Bogdan Vecherko entered into what is called a continuance without prosecution agreement with Hennepin County prosecutors before District Judge William Koch on Friday. Vecherko appeared via an online court session that lasted about 20 minutes. The arrangement is not a plea bargain, and he didn't speak beyond saying yes, sir, to Koch's questions about the process. Vecherko wore a suit coat and dress shirt as he sat behind attorney Kevin DeVore. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman didn't charge Vecherko in the incident until October, months after it transpired. In charging him with threats of violence, a felony, and criminal vehicular operation, a gross misdemeanor, the prosecutor said Vecherko had admitted to investigators that he was in kind of a hurry. Freeman also said the investigation found the trucker sought to scare protesters out of his path. The incident was especially unsettling because it came amid days and nights of upheaval in the Twin Cities after Floyd's murder by then-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Like Floyd's killing, the incident on the bridge was captured on surveillance cameras. I actually did see the surveillance footage of that particular incident. And it was very clear to me that the truck driver did not intend any ill will or any harm, serious injury, even trying to kill people. That was pretty obvious. It turned out to be a very, very unfortunate mistake because of the protesters, you know, blocking 35W bridge. You know, the city of Minneapolis at that time was pretty much ceding to mob rule. And so therefore, they decided, okay, we'll block off the bridge because, you know, protesters are going to hop on anyways. And, you know, in order for people to be safe, we'll go ahead and block it off. Well, unfortunately, Vecherko was able to get through a barrier and was not aware that the freeway was shut down. And so as he was going northbound, it was very clear when he saw a mob of people on the freeway, he slowed down. Now, he didn't hit the brakes right away because of the size of the tanker truck. It would have fishtailed, spun out of control, jackknifed, could have capsized, who's to say? But he definitely did slow down. And thank God, and I do mean this literally, thank God no one was severely hurt. And as a result, as the tanker truck came through the protesters, you know, mobbed his truck, started throwing debris at the truck, and some guys were climbing atop of the cab, and there were some trying to kick in the window, break in the window. Eventually, they got the door open and got to the driver and physically beat the guy, and the guy was taken under arrest eventually. Well, I don't understand how these charges would have stuck, as if he was trying to cause severe harm. Now, they did take a statement to say he was trying to, you know, maybe scare the protesters out of his path. Well, if you see a crush of people on the freeway that you don't expect to see, you know, you're maybe going to try to, well, I don't know, I don't know if he honked his horn, I don't know if he swerved, what have you. But obviously he wasn't aware of the situation, what was going on, hence his continuing to drive on 35W North when other cars were being diverted off the nearest exit ahead of the bridge there. But what was not helpful in the matter was how emotions were inflamed on social media, which I've always said, It's never good to go on social media when a major news event is taking place or major tragedy, because number one, you know, particularly Twitter, it's very, very polarizing, both from both sides. When conservatives aren't blocked, that is, it's very, very polarizing. The fringe of both sides of a debate, political debate, are going to be the loudest voices. And Minnesota House Majority Leader Tinky Winky, a.k.a. Ryan Winkler, took to Twitter and posted a photo of then police shutting down the bridge completely while the investigation was being conducted. And Winkler wrote the following on Twitter: "Protesters I know are saying the truck driver drove into a crowd and intentionally ran into them. Well, that's emphatically false. He didn't run into anybody. Thankfully, everybody got out of the way, and it was very clear he was slowing down, and he slowed down until he stopped. And once he was stopped, then the mob started climbing up atop his cab. Well, instead of speeding off, trying to get away from the mob, he realized that would have probably been dangerous, and that would have resulted in people being killed or severely injured. So he just casually tried to roll forward to kind of try to shake these people off the truck, which didn't happen. They eventually got him out there, got out of there, beat the tar out of him. And here is probably the most despicable, irresponsible part of Winkler's tweet. He concluded the tweet by saying, "Confederate flags and white supremacist insignia." With zero proof, zero evidence, the Minnesota House Majority Leader tweets that the truck contained Confederate flags and white supremacist insignia. And he took this was pure conjecture. He said, well, protesters I know. You know what? If you're going to throw that out there, you better be darn sure that that is the absolute truth. Because if a protester you know is telling you this, you know what you should respond to him? Pick or it didn't happen. Send me a picture. Because I'm not going to tweet that out. But we all know what Ryan Winkler's purpose is, right? I mean, this is the same guy who called a black Supreme Court justice an Uncle Thomas back in 2013 because Clarence Thomas handed down a ruling he didn't like. Or when he flipped off Minnesota State Senator Scott Jensen during a press conference. Winkler didn't realize he was on camera, but he was. Okay? So I'm not remotely surprised that Ryan Winkler would be this stupid and irresponsible. I shouldn't be surprised, but it is pretty despicable. And the point is, this was literally the Sunday after George Floyd was killed, less than a week after George Floyd was killed. Tensions were already inflamed. And then when you put out there in social media, the Minnesota House Majority Leader, I can't emphasize this enough. This isn't some regular schmo on the street who sets up a social media account and has an egg for an avatar and has two followers. Okay, this is the Minnesota House Majority Leader putting this out there with tensions already inflamed after seeing what happened to George Floyd. And then to put out there that this is a white guy intentionally driving into the protesters and he had Confederate flags and white supremacist insignia on his truck. That just despicable. If you hate to play the whataboutism game, and you play you hate to play the well. Imagine if a conservative, but seriously, imagine if Kurt Dowd, who was House Majority Leader, he was House Speaker. He was a House Speaker before the Democrats took over the House after the 2018 election. But suppose someone like Kurt Dowd put that out there, he'd have been charged with incitement. There'd have been screams for him to resign. And he'd have been charged with inciting a mob if he wrote something that inflammatory, saying, well, it was a leftist that was doing this, and saying something along the lines of he was displaying anti-Christian bigotry on his truck or something along those lines. There would have been a mob at the Capitol demanding his resignation. But because it's Tinky Winky, it's a footnote. So I can't help but think about that incident and not think of Ryan Winkler's tweet that he put out. It was just absolutely irresponsible. But again, sure is good being a Democrat in Minnesota, as my friend and colleague Mitch Berg has dubbed it, urban progressive privilege. As long as you support the right causes, you can pretty much say or do anything you want, and there's going to be little more than a slap on the wrist. That's about it. Anyways, to kind of finish my thoughts on this, in the end, in my opinion, justice was not completely served. And I'm not talking about the charges being dropped against Mr. Vecherico, given I believe that was the right call. I'm referring to what happened to him once he came to a complete stop in his truck. Because as I alluded to, he was attacked, by a mob of protesters, and there were some personal items taken from his cab, like I think a cell phone, a wallet, what have you. And yet, despite that, was that ever investigated? Were there any suspects identified? There sure as heck wasn't anybody charged. Okay, taking matters into your own head, mob violence, that's assault and battery. No one was charged for that. And taking someone's personal belongings while he's being beaten, that's at the very least a misdemeanor. I mean, again, no legal beagle here, but nobody was ever charged in those crimes. So if you want to jump up and down, scream like a poo-flinging monkey over Mr. Vichirico not being charged with a felony for what he did, I got no sympathy for your cause if you're not going to speak on his behalf. Because even if he was intentionally do this, and he didn't, and there's no proof that he did, okay, you don't take matters into your own hands. You just don't. Okay? And again, thank God no one was hurt in this particular incident. It was an unfortunate incident, but yeah, justice was not served all right. The mob who violently attacked him, and thankfully Mr. Vichirico came out with some pretty bad cuts on his face, but no life-threatening injuries, and I don't think any permanent injuries. But yeah, justice definitely was not served on that end of it, to say the least. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. When we come back, friend of the broadcast, Minnesota State Senator Dave Osmek will be joining us to give us an update on the Minnesota's legislative session, special session of the Minnesota legislature. Coming back in mere moments on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere. With a view to wake him.
Face to face in secret places. Whoa. Look at all these options.
You can fill an entire warehouse with all the different ways you can stream The Patriot. Top shelf choices include AM1280ThePatriot.com, our free app, and Radio.com.
Are you the principal or leader of a Christian or Catholic school? Would you like to fill the empty seats in your classrooms for no cash out of pocket? TwinCitiesTuitions.com would like to team up with you on our tuition program for first-year students. You'll be part of a marketing campaign to raise awareness about your school and gain new students for next year and beyond. Again, at no cash investment for your school. Get details by logging on to TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-323-8137. 800-323-8137. 800-323-8137. That's 800-323-8137. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Did you know you were kicking in your mommy's tummy before you were born?
We were?
Yep. I just learned at school that babies move and kick before they're even born.
No wonder we're so good at soccer.
That's right, kids. A preborn baby is moving about and even kicking just 14 weeks from conception. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of information and alternatives to abortion, or you'd like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773, 1-800-366-7773, or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America.
Salem Surround partners with your business to deliver custom digital marketing solutions. Surround your target audience wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review to keep your business top of mind. Learn more at minneapolis.salemsurround.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. Always honored to be joined by a friend of the broadcast, Minnesota State Senator Dave Osmek. He, a Republican senator out of the city of Mound, also represents areas including Shorewood, Minnetrista, St. Bonifacius, some of those high Tony suburbs, I guess, Senator Osmek. Good to have you on the broadcast, sir. How are you?
Being conservative, you know, just to tie up the you had about Tinky Winky. If you're looking at adult behavior, the last person you want to talk to named Winkler.
Right. No, 100%.
He is really a very despicable representative. He is leader in the House.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And again, I don't know that anybody sought him for a comment as much as he decided to blast that out there on Twitter, and then he ended up deleting it. He's sorry, incomplete information, very chaotic scene. Da 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 da. It's like he just kind of glossed right over it. So I had a feeling you might have some input on that, Senator Osmek, but it's all good. So we do want to get to the happenings going on at the special session. Just kind of a general overview, Senator Osmek. I think the deadline is July 1st. We have to agree to a budget, otherwise risk a shutdown. How goes the progress with 11 days to go, Senator Dave Osmek?
Well, it is as I've seen it. This is my fifth session that I've been in office. And this is probably the one that I've ever seen. You know, we are not deals that allow to have a half dollars to just spend any place he wants with very little or no legislative oversight and very little guidelines on where and how the money is spent. I mean, for crying out loud, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But that has been negotiated. And that is part of this grand deal that came up at the end of the regular session, is that we're going to let Tim Walz have a slush fund so he can pay all of his buddies as much money as they want. And, oh, by the way, Education Minnesota will filter that back to his campaign next year. So it's not proceeding particularly well. I don't think we're going to be done until July 1st, if then. My gut feeling is we're going to have at least a partial shutdown of some type, because the House is not moving bills very quickly, and rightfully so. They're complaining. They're standing up for their beliefs, and they're standing up against really bad ideas, such as something called the Rondo Land Bridge.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Senator Osmek. Why don't you kind of give us some insight of what that might entail? I don't know if our listeners are as familiar with that as you might be. Well, they're probably obviously not as familiar with that as you might be. Why don't you give us a little insight of what that entails?
Right. Well, during a regular session, I'm on transportation. I'm the Senate Transportation Committee. I voted no, and we stopped this Rondo Land Bridge. We also stopped it on the Senate floor. The Rondo Land Bridge, for those people who don't know what this boondoggle is, this is reparations 2021 style. There's continuing complaints from the Rondo neighborhood in St. Paul, which is an area between Lexington and Rice Street on 94.
Yep.
When they put the freeway in 1960, they quote unquote disrupted a beautiful, wonderful, peaceful neighborhood, supposedly, with this nasty freeway. And ever since then, the Rondo, quote-unquote, Rondo neighborhood has been complaining about this. Well, the liberals in Minneapolis and St. Paul all got together and said, well, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to spend $1 billion or more, probably $2 billion by the time it's over, to build a land bridge over 94 from Lexington to Rice Street. Now, people, can you imagine how stupid that is?
I'm trying to picture this, yeah.
It's ridiculous. And they said, well, we're going to put a park there, and we're going to put buildings there. Now, first off, I don't think you can. They brought up the Lowry Hill Tunnel saying, well, sure, you can build stuff over it. I said, are you kidding? Lowry Hill is not the same as this area. You're going to have to put in so many footings and pilings. And, oh, by the way, there's 10 lanes of traffic there.
Right.
How are you going to bridge that with enough support where you can actually put concrete on top of it? But more importantly, $1 billion or $2, and all, what the request has been made, and it popped up into the jobs bill because it was negotiated in by leadership in the Senate. Yes, and you can name who that is if you like. That was negotiated in, and it's only $6 or $7 million. And if you're a fan of Monty Python, you could just call that a wafer-thin mint,
right?
Because it's very small.
Right.
But the reality of the situation is, folks, this boondoggle, this is exactly the way we got light rail in Minnesota. You start it with planning, and then you plan some more, and then you plan some more. And then after you've burned about $50 or $60 million on planning, then you have to do the project because you spent all this money planning it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep. Yeah, so, speaking of light,
it is poor.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just a poor use. It's just a poor use of public funds, and just because the money is federal. See, here's the other excuse. Oh, this is all going to be federal money to put this land bridges, so we can put a park there. And of course, you know, the way things are going now with the homeless problem, that'll probably turn into an encampment very soon thereafter.
Oh, yeah.
But they say, well, it's only going to be federal money. Well, great. The money you're
from?
Starting with the planning is state. Exactly. Where's that money coming from? Well, actually, it's being loaned to us by the Chinese in reality.
Right.
But when push comes to shove, that's our money, boys and girls. Yep. Somebody's got to say no, and I'm willing to stand up, even though my leadership says, well, we should do this. I'm going to stand up and say no.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing issue, I know, Senator Osmak, and like you've indicated, this isn't your first rodeo as far as special sessions go, where it just seems to boil down to the Senate Majority Leader, the House Speaker, and the Governor negotiating the terms, and it's almost as if we're supposed to bring it back to the respective caucuses and say, okay, here's what we agreed to, let's get this, hurry up and get this passed so we don't have to shut down the government. And we saw this going on with the House when House Republicans were conveying objections to, you know, what few legislation actually got to the floor. All of a sudden they're labeled as obstructionists, and it's like, well, no, as your Republican colleague in the House, Ann News, says, it's more like standing up for our constituents at this point, and someone has to be a voice for these people, Dave Osmak.
Exactly right. And here's the funniest part. So the House Republicans, rightfully so, if I was there, I'd be joining them saying this is a bad deal. This is a poorly negotiated deal. You're giving a slush fund to the executive branch. This is a bad idea all around. But on top of it, in the Senate, we've been hearing some of these negotiated deals, and one of them was the Commerce and Energy Bill. And Brad, you know who Scott Dibble and John Marty are.
Yeah.
They are not conservatives.
No.
And for the energy portion of the bill, those two were singing praises. They were singing praises. You should. There's no way that you should be developing any bills that have universal love from the Senate DFL. If you don't have somebody, I hate to put it this way, you don't have somebody in the minority complaining, you ain't doing your job.
Right. No, it's an excellent. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and in the House, they're fighting. And they're amending, and they're trying to do what they do best and is best for their constituents, and I respect that. But in the Senate, if you're building bills that the DFL is throwing roses at you for, really, that's how we're going to go about it? I'm not saying you have to build bills that get animosity from the Democrats. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be some level of compromise, but when every single bill that comes up is nothing but a DFL love fest, do you really think you've negotiated the best deal you can get?
Probably not. That we are joined by Minnesota State Senator Dave Osmak, a Republican out of the Mound area. Senator Osmak, we got to take a quick break. Are you able to hold for another segment with us?
Absolutely.
All right, Dave Osmak will be back with us. And if you'd like to weigh in, 651 289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. Another segment with Minnesota State Senator Dave Osmek coming up on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere.
Temperatures are rising. What will help you feel comfy and cool all summer long? A giant glass of iced tea, a fruity popsicle, a swim in the lake, or $850 in instant savings on a new air conditioner or ductless system from Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Take advantage of the Standard Heating Summer AC Sale. Instantly save $850 off a new AC unit or ductless system. These savings are here to keep you feeling cool and comfy all summer long. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is a family-owned and operated business with 91 years of serving the 7-county metro, servicing over 500,000 homes. Take advantage of these summer savings on an AC or ductless system. Ask your sales rep about these amazing June savings. Hurry, these offers end June 30th. Go to standardheating.com for more details. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, providing the comfort you deserve since 1930. That's standardheating.com. Mention the Patriot. standardheating.com.
People looking to buy a new fence in Minnesota are lucky. Lucky because unlike with other types of purchases, when it comes to buying a new fence, the choice has been made so darn easy. Only one company truly stands above the rest and has for a long, long time. Midwest Fence has not only been around far longer than anyone else and thus is far more experienced, they're the largest fence company in the state, which means Midwest Fence has the greatest variety of fence designs. You won't believe the seemingly endless styles you can choose from these days. And Midwest Fence buys in such bulk, they can keep their prices lower than other companies. That's why, if you're ready for a fence, you're just plain lucky. The legendary fence company that's been making people smile since Truman was president is but a phone call away and ready to stop out and deliver a free estimate. Your turn to smile, folks. Learn more at MidwestFence.com.
Warning, warning, warning. Once you taste the Rack Shack's Patriot Burger, other burgers will never measure up.
Hey, I'm Nick Anderson, general manager of AM 1280 The Patriot, and we've partnered with my friend Keith Hittner Sr. from the Rack Shack Barbecue to create a burger worthy of the Patriot name.
It's a half-pound burger that's red, white, and blue through and through. American cheese on top, and the American flag proudly waves over the bun. The Patriot Burger comes with your choice of any of our delectable sides, like our famous hand-cut fries, all just for $12.80.
Best burger in town as far as I'm concerned, and it's $12.80 anytime, any day. Try it today at the Rack Shack Barbecue at the Cedar Cliff Center at Nichols and Cliff in Eagan.
Be careful. Once you try a Patriot Burger, you may never go back to a regular burger.
That's the Rack Shack Barbecue at RackShackBarbecue.com.
Get that Rack Shack attack. Ooh,
yeah. Hey, welcome back, AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. For any comments or questions. And by the way, I am live streaming the broadcast, as we always do, at our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com, do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network, and feel free to comment on the video stream there as well. Just another area where you can leave a comment and a question if you do not desire to call in. That is perfectly fine. Honored again to be joined by a friend of the broadcast, Dave Osmek, Senator Dave Osmek, Republican Senator out of the Mound area. Senator Osmek, we did see a headline in the Star Tribune. Sounds like some relatively good news. Perhaps you could provide context to this about how the Minnesota legislature agreed to nearly $1 billion in tax cuts. And, of course, that has specifically to do with conforming to the federal tax laws with the Paycheck Protection Program loans that initially were designated as taxable income, and when that was ascertained, the legislature thankfully acted to ensure that that was no longer taxable, as well as some other tax relief. Can you maybe kind of give us some insight on what that billion-dollar package entails, Senator Osmek? I mean, you know, certainly there's some context involved, but it's a far cry from what the DFL wanted to do, which was $1 billion in tax increases, despite a surplus in the midst of the pandemic here, Senator Osmek.
Never skip an opportunity to raise taxes is what the motto should be for the Democrats here in Minnesota.
Correct.
There's some real good provisions in the tax bill. There's some things that I probably don't like. I haven't specifically seen the final version, so it's, you know, until we see the final, when we see the final ink on the page, that's when you start to develop whether you're going to support something or not.
Sure.
But the key items inside of the tax bill are conformity with the PPP program. The federal, they make these loans tax exempt. Right now, Minnesota, we're one of the few states that does not.
Right.
Allow that to be completely tax exempt. That's going to cost us, I forget what the current number was, but we're not talking about a small amount. There's hundreds of millions of dollars worth of tax relief that will go to businesses that that got the PPP to help them stay afloat. And why should Minnesota now go back in and tax the hell out of them? And
right.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Another one is unemployment. That if you did receive unemployment last year or this year, there are provisions in there that Minnesota is going to make the first, I think the number is $10,000 exempt from federal tax. Again, you know, why should we be taxing unemployment if you're unemployed? You're already not making a bundle of money here, but why should we be going after your unemployment checks and having you have to pay for those taxes? So. There are some good things in it. Again, I haven't read the entire bill, and we soon will be getting copies of it. So I'll formulate where I'm going to go with that one. But, let me step back quick to that energy bill.
Mm-hmm.
One of the items that we allowed in the energy bill, we, the Republicans, is $500, and it's a small amount, $500,000 for a microclimate study for Minneapolis. Yes, you heard that right, folks. We're going to take a 5-square block area and we're going to spend $500,000 studying climate change. Now, folks, this is ridiculous. I said no to it last year. Unfortunately, when I say no to something, I make it stick, but other people don't.
Okay.
So there's bad things in all of these bills. And we know how compromise works.
Sure.
I understand that. But there's just some times where you just say no. And unfortunately, we are the girl that can't say no, apparently, at the Capitol. And it does scare me what we're going to do here before we finish this legislative session or this unspecial session.
Yeah, I do want to switch gears. You know, Senator Osmek, as you indicated, obviously you're serving on the Transportation Committee, and you've obviously had quite a bit to say about light rail, and particularly I want your input on this. I always kind of chuckle when there are specific programs and their things go bad. It's always labeled as unexpectedly. You know, it was prolific during the Obama administration when their policies caused rampant unemployment and slow economic growth. And whenever GDP went up by less than 1%, it was always unexpected when it shouldn't have been. Well, speaking of light rail, I kind of think of the Eagles lyric in Hotel California. They stabbed it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. Unexpected $21 million charge for Southwest Light Rail prompts concern, but not enough concern to where they still unanimously allowed it to go through, to Senator Osmek.
Well, and here's the worst part about that whole episode is that, and I'm sure this is not going to make some of my Republican brethren who are Trump supporters happy, the Trump administration and Donald Trump could have killed this in 2017.
You tell.
I was on transportation in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I sent letters. There were multiple. I think I even drafted a letter that was signed by every Republican in the Minnesota Senate. I'd have to go check to make sure of that. But we said to Elaine Chao, also known as Mitch McConnell's wife,
yep,
we said, please don't give them the money for this boondoggle. And guess what happened? They got the money. And now it just keeps getting worse and worse. That's why this little project, Southwest, originally started out with a price tag at $700,000 or $800,000, I think it was. We're over $2 million now, and it's only going to get worse. And then you got North Star.
Yeah, I live up in Ramsey and used to ride the North Star way back when I worked in downtown Minneapolis. And the one thing I always heard, you know, because of the incredible subsidies that they had to give for each rider, and it's like, well, The alternative is to shut it off, and that would cost untold millions to shut the thing down, and that just isn't a viable option. The fact that that's even being broached as a possibility, Senator Osmick, shows you how much of a boondoggle that's become, or even more so.
Right, and Senator Scott Newman is the chair for the Transportation Committee. He is actually, and I've looked at that bill because part of transportation is I get to get feedback on some of these bills. He has put together a very good transportation bill. One of the failures of it, and it isn't because he didn't try, was to shut down North Star because ridership after COVID, and I don't think that ridership is really going to come back much.
No.
Ridership is down 95%.
Right.
95%. We are running empty trains up and down that line now, or with one or two people on them. Now, they've dialed it back, but we have to get a variance. And we may be researching, and we may be asking the feds for a little bit of variance to try and reduce the number of trips or try and shut it off. But we didn't get that with the House. The House refused to let us completely mothball the thing. And it's going to keep taking money from us year after year. Before COVID, the number per rider one way was at $50 per subsidy.
Yep.
Per person one way. I mean, we could have bought everybody a Lexus, boys. We could have bought everybody a damn Lexus.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
and made money off the deal.
Well, and I think what you look at the situation in downtown Minneapolis, I mean, people are very hesitant to even go to Minneapolis in broad daylight these days with the situation that's occurring down there. And I think companies are probably coming to that realization where, you know what, it costs a pretty penny to lease office space down here anyways. And during the pandemic, I guess maybe perhaps one of the few silver linings is companies realize, you know what, our employees are just as effective and efficient from their home office, and this saves a tremendous amount of expense. So the work population in downtown Minneapolis, I don't think that's ever coming back. So how in the world can we expect a minuscule ridership to come back, Dave Osmick?
Exactly. And for when I got into the Senate in 2013, I was already talking about people, but that we as a society were changing telecommuting. That's why creating a hub system where Minneapolis is the center of the universe for transportation is clinically stupid.
Yeah.
Because your patterns are changing. And now what are companies doing? They're building the few facilities that they have. They're building landing stations. They don't build cubes anymore. They build landing stations where if you need to come in, and conference rooms, you need to come in, you come in for a couple hours and you go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a change of how we are going to work into the future. The pandemic just gave it a big shove into overdrive.
Right.
Because of what happened.
Once again, we are joined by Minnesota State Senator Dave Osmick, Republican out of the Mound area. Senator Osmick, before we let you go, we do have a couple of calls that want to weigh in quick. Line 2, Mark is in St. Louis Park. Mark, always good to hear from you, sir. You are on the air.
I'll be super quick. I don't have much time. Mr. Osmick, a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure you noticed, there's either a liberal county commissioner or I think it was a county commissioner who said, let's shut down North Star. The only time it's being used is during Vikings and Twins games. Well, he was wrong. It's also used during the state fair. But that's it. And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, Mark, you're right. It's only used for high-density events, that's the time that the ridership justifies it. The other times that it has been used, and thank God we haven't invested in this, is students going back and forth from St. Cloud State into the metropolitan area. That's the ridership, folks.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change. It really won't change when we come back up. And hopefully we will finally end that thing. It was a bad idea to start with.
Is Vincent still with us, Jacob? Vincent from St. Paul is on line 3. Go ahead, Vincent. You're on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Aloha.
Aloha. How you doing there? Thank you. I grew up in Frogtown, which is west of the state capital.
Yep.
And that's right. You go south, and that's where Rondo was.
Yep.
And Rondo is a historical area. And around the time of Fort Snelling, when they all came here, the frontiersmen and all, the blacks were living in Rondo, whether they're slave time or after that. So that historical area, if you could put signs maybe along the freeway from Rice to Lexington, maybe say a historical area in the past, you know, dates, whatever, and all that there. That's just an idea for transportation.
Yeah, thanks, Vincent. Yeah, Senator Osmek, you'd like to weigh in on that?
Well, you know, I appreciate the fact that it is a quote-unquote historical neighborhood. The problem is it doesn't justify $2 billion to put a park over it. It makes no sense. And that is not going to heal the racial wounds that this nation has. Spending $2 billion on a park over a freeway is what I call reparations. And if we're going down that road, let's have a little discussion in the Senate about the Minnesota First. And I know, Brad, you know what that means. You know, Minnesota was the first state to send volunteers into the Civil War to win,
right?
To save the Union, to free the slaves.
Right.
We spent our blood, boys and girls. Now, go back into history. Minnesota has already paid its dues. But anyway, Rondo is a bad idea. It's the second coming of light rail, and we're going to try and stop it. And I'll do anything I can to stop it.
We've been joined by Minnesota State Senator Dave Osmek, Republican out of Mound, giving us an update on all things special session, policy, finance, what have you. Senator Osmek, always good to hear from you, sir. Thanks so much, and best of luck. Hopefully you can get finished on time, and look forward to talking to you down the road. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. One final segment this hour coming up. Go nowhere.
AM 1280 The Patriot.
Cool voiceover. Zany sound effect.
We were going to write a flashy promo about streaming us at radio.com, but considering how easy it is to do, we'll keep it simple, too. Listen to The Patriot on the free radio.com app.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back. 800-824-3853. 800-824-3853. That's 800-824-3853. 800-824-3853.
Dennis Prager here with my friend Mike Hilborn, owner of Roof to Deck Restoration. Mike, I've seen roofs in the Twin Cities that have many years of life left, but are streaked and stained and look, quite honestly, terrible. Your company actually removes those streaks?
Dennis, many people don't know it, but those black streaks and stains are caused by an algae that can be killed and cleaned away. Our process makes roofs look new again. Algae and moss grow on cedar shake roofs. Moss is especially damaging because it actually feeds on the cedar wood and prevents the wood from drying. And when wood doesn't dry, it rots.
Cleaning and sealing a cedar shake roof actually extends the life of a roof. Mike, how can people learn more?
See videos on our website at rooftodeck.com. That's rooftodeck.com.
For a free quote, call 651-699-3504. Call now through Thursday and receive $100 off your project of $1,000 or more.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. And I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
AM 1280, The Patriot, and iHeartRadio. They go together like
freedom and the Second Amendment.
Listen at iHeart.com or with the free iHeartRadio mobile app.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh. Hey, welcome back. AM 1280, The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. As always, we thank you for tuning into our broadcast. And again, happy Father's Day to all you dads out there celebrating. Hope you are being spoiled accordingly. One of the first days we've had rain in like a couple of weeks and didn't last very long, at least up in my neck of the woods, that's for sure. So hopefully it picks up a little bit today. But hope you are being rightly spoiled, dads, whatever you have going on today. I only have about 5 minutes left in this segment. I was struck by a tweet that was put up by Terry Moran. He is a correspondent with ABC News. He was responding to a tweet by Sahil Kapoor, I believe is with, let me be sure I have my facts straight on this one. I want to be sure to get their credentials correct. Yeah, Sahil Kapoor is a national political reporter at NBC News, and he was musing about Mitch McConnell, who was on, well, friend of the broadcast, Hugh Hewitt, who can be heard every weekday, 5 to 8 a.m. on these very airwaves, AM 1280 The Patriot. Mitch McConnell said it's highly unlikely he'd allow President Biden to fill a Supreme Court vacancy in 2024 if he's majority leader. He also doesn't commit to allowing a vote on a nominee if a seat opened up in 2023. McConnell just said, well, we'd have to wait and see what happens. And Terry Moran decided to hop on in there, and he said, you know, is there any doubt that the GOP would end the filibuster for good in a heartbeat if it served their purposes? And, you know, he's, of course, referring to how the Democrats, current crop of Democrat senators, majority of them anyways, want to end the Senate filibuster. But Arizona's Kirsten Sinema and West Virginia's Joe Manchin, again, obviously both Democrats, are not willing to do so. And the Democrats need a simple majority in order to change the rules and go nuclear. And, of course, they're referring to the fact that Mitch McConnell decided to go nuclear in 2017 and allow Neil Gorsuch to be to end debate on Neil Gorsuch being nominated to the Supreme Court. And then once debate was ended, then it was just a simple up or down vote. And Neil Gorsuch was confirmed. Well, of course, a lot of people point out, say, well, Mitch McConnell, what a hypocrite. You know, he's obstructing the ending the filibuster, but he did the same thing for Supreme Court justices. Well, it was only in reaction to Harry Reid having pulled that stunt back in 2013, where he ended the filibuster for all federal bench appointments, with the exception of the Supreme Court. So it set a precedent. But one area where McConnell has been very consistent, he has always said the legislative filibuster is safe while I'm the majority leader. Take that to the bank. And, of course, the Republicans had the majority in the Senate since 2014, right up through this last election cycle. So for 6 years, six solid years, the Republicans had the majority in the Senate. And guess what? During President Trump's first 2 years in the White House, Republicans had complete control of Washington. They had a significant majority in the House. They had a majority in the Senate and, of course, the White House. So when Terry Moran says, well, is there any doubt that the GOP would end the filibuster for good in a heartbeat if it served their purposes? Yeah, there's monumental doubt, because they didn't do it the first 2 years Trump was president, despite the fact Trump went to Mitch McConnell and tried to encourage him to end the legislative filibuster because Trump had some big agenda items that he would have liked to got passed. But of course, if they're non-fiscal related items, because fiscal related items can be done through reconciliation through the Senate, you don't need a 60-40 majority to end debate on financial items, fiscal items. That's why the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act got passed in 2017 with no Democrat support. So, yeah, there's monumental doubt, because Trump asked McConnell specifically to get rid of the legislative filibuster so he could pass some of his big ticket items, and McConnell didn't do it. You know, it's amazing to me, this era of whataboutism and gotcha discourse, basic facts in very recent history are shoved aside. I mean, you don't have to go back that far to realize that Trump asked Mitch McConnell, who was then the majority leader, to end the legislative filibuster. And that so triggered the Senate Democrats, who were in the minority at the time, obviously, that many of them signed on to a petition touting the value of the filibuster and how it projects or protects minority rights, the minority party, that is. Okay? But now, all of a sudden, the Democrats, so much for protecting minority rights. Now, all of a sudden, the legislative filibuster, well, it's an old racist relic. Really? It just is now a racist relic? Whereas when you're signing a petition back in 2017, 2018, whenever it was, to protect that legislative filibuster, to protect the rights of the minority, what's changed? Well, we know what's changed. It's a rhetorical question. But now that ditching the filibuster would serve the Democrats' purposes, many Dems, but again, thankfully not all of them, not all 50 Senate Democrats, are now declaring the procedure, again, to some sort of racist relic. So in short, yes, Terry Moran, there is significant doubt. But this idea of, is there any doubt the Republicans would end the filibuster for good in a heartbeat if it served their purposes, that's classic projection. Because the Democrats are basically demonstrating that if they are somehow able to end the filibuster, hello, packing the Supreme Court. Hello, D.C. becoming a state. All right? Hello, federalizing the voter system. Because the Democrats know this is their one chance to co-opt power and to never lose it again. Because Mitch McConnell could get up and give another grand speech like he did in 2013 when Harry Reid ended the judicial filibuster, said you will rue this day because one day you will no longer be in the majority party and it'll be used against you. And that turned out to be true. But the Democrats are banking on it. They can get rid of the filibuster now and make D.C. a state, pack the Supreme Court, and federalize our voting system, that they'll never lose power again. So that is classic projection by the ABC News correspondent. Hour number one on the books. Hour number two coming back. Mere moments. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere. Closing time.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and now I agree. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor for Pete and Seth selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. That's correct. Each of the four ingredients deal with inflammation on a different metabolic pathway. That right there. Approaching your pain from four different angles may very well be why so many Americans find such wonderful pain relief. If you have back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or even just getting older, you must order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. I think it could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
I'm Staff Sergeant Mark Anthony Madrid.
Staff Sergeant Samantha Cowell.
I'm Staff Sergeant Alex.
I'm Staff Sergeant William Lewis, and I am proud to defend my family and our nation.
The Air Force Reserve is part of the story of this great nation.
I'm grateful that I have a chance to wear the uniform of the heroes that went before me.
I am proud to be part of a team that helps make a difference in the world.
Every day, men and women from communities across this nation serve as Reserve Citizen Airmen. Even as technology evolves and changes, our commitment to defend and protect this nation remains steadfast. We celebrate those who have served and those who are proudly serving. We celebrate our proud history and look towards an exciting and uniting future. Our mission is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace.
And I am proud to be a member
of... And I'm proud to serve in the United
States.
And
I am proud to protect our country.
Proud to serve in the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
AFReserve.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot.